Song, say amen. I'm glad he's faithful to his people. He can't deny himself. Thank the Lord for that. Well, it's come time for Brother Dana Williams to come around, close out this morning session. This is Tuesday morning. It's going to be Friday before we turn around three times. Brother Dana, you come around and preach to us. Carry out the service you feel led of the Lord. I love you. Appreciate it.
Amen. I do love to preach, but I love to hear preaching. I was hearing preaching a long time before I preached. And that's how I started preaching. I just listened to preachers minding my own business, amening them and enjoying them. And Holy Ghost said, well, now, why don't you do that? I said, me? He said, yeah. They put that preach in me. But didn't you enjoy that? Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke and chapter number 15. You heard my wife at the piano singing. Now you know why I get to preach so much. I was having a meeting in Florida. I had to call the pastor and tell him she wasn't coming. It got real quiet. Now, it's the truth. I got down there, and one of the men come up and said, well, we had a vote on whether to have the meeting or not since we found out Esther wasn't coming. Said, I want to encourage you. You won by one vote. Said, Brother Steve told a partial story yesterday. It wasn't all true. Of course, you know that 50% of everything a preacher says before he starts preaching is true. 50%. But he talked about her doing the mowing. But he didn't tell you back last June she come down with that COVID and I had to mow one time. People started, when they come by the house, they just slow down like it was a funeral procession or something. They looked at me. I got three phone calls. They said, did Esther die? I said, no, why? They said, well, we never seen you do that. Anyway, I called somebody to get it done after that. Anyway. We began yesterday looking at this thought of the parables. I want to look here in verse 1 down through verse number 7. We're going to look at the world of the shepherd with the sheep. This matter of parables, Jesus' earthly stories with heavenly meanings. It's where he brings worlds that are apart to get. Worlds that are so unalike, yet alike. Lays them down side by side, as the word parable means, to throw down and compare. To be able to see one in the other. And through that, Jesus reveals those divine and heavenly truths. These are not bedtime stories, not for our amusement. Does not entertain us with them, but they are life-changing. Right. Spoke about the twins that we have, grandchildren. Up until they were 8 years old, I couldn't tell them apart. I just said, if one came by, I'd holler and say, hey, twin, come here. I'm sure that annoyed them. But if I could bring them together side by side, I could see the likenesses and the differences between the two. And what the Lord is doing is he's taking this natural world that we are a part of, we know something about. But he wants us to see more than we're seeing and look at more than what we're looking at. He wants us to see in the natural that there is the divine. There is the heavenly. There is the spiritual. But in the midst of seeing both of those, he wants us to be able to see ourselves. As in every parable, it will have the physical aspect to it. It will point you to that new birth as a result of that natural birth. But then it will make application out of the revelation, and there all of a sudden you will see yourself. But the most important thing revealed is in every one of these parables you will find the Lord. You will find the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost, or you will find them all three. But it is here in this parable that we're going to read that we see the physical part of it as those folks in Israel would know in that day, the shepherd and the sheep, an occupation in that hour. We also see in that text and in that parable the shepherd who is above and over the sheep. It is there that he wants us to see that this is more than just physical. It is spiritual. We have a painting at the house, rather large. In it, you can see a shepherd. You're looking down upon them in the valley. He is leading the sheep. Yet at the same time, there is a rugged rock wall or cliff beside them. And if you will look intently, and you have to, you will see in it the very shape of another shepherd. The big shepherd is looking over that shepherd and those sheep. And Jesus wants us to know that this is more than just a physical shepherd. But he's telling us this story because he wants us to see the real shepherd. He wants us to see himself. I thought about the verses in the Bible that refers to him as a shepherd. You know them well. John 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. 1 Peter 5 verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. And then in Hebrews 13 verse 20, he refers to himself as the great shepherd. This parable is a picture of the shepherd and the sheep. Let's read those verses, and then we want to step off into the world of the shepherd. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans. Now, that's not republicans. And sinners, for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake a parable unto them, bringing worlds together. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want us to, just for a few moments, step off into this parable where this shepherd is, who has 100 sheep, and he is aware that he is lacking one. He ventures off to wherever that place may be to find that sheep. He is determined that he will not come back until he possesses that which is his own. He's going after the sheep, and thank God he's going to get him. But it is in this world of the sheep that I want to emphasize one word that is found down through this text. It is the word one. The world of the shepherd is a world of one. A world of oneness. Coupled with that is the truth that we see within this shepherd. A faithfulness connected to that oneness. Amen. Aren't you glad, as Brother Steve has already said, we have a faithful shepherd? Amen. But yet it seems to be expressed in the matter of this number, or in this singular sense, in that there is a oneness about his ministry. Amen. Being our shepherd, your shepherd, and us being his sheep. The first thing that I want to emphasize to you is that I note that there is one shepherd that is in and among the sheep. In other words, if you've got a sheep fold, you don't have plural shepherds, you have a shepherd. He emphasized that in the way he tells it. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep? In other words, one man who is the shepherd over the body of his sheep. And what we realize is that the Lord is our shepherd. And he is the only shepherd that we have. Amen. There is none to compare to this shepherd in the relationship of his faithfulness, being that one shepherd for that one body of sheep. I've thought about the title that he has. He has chosen to be the shepherd. As he came into this world, there are many terms and positions that he could have elevated himself with, but he took that lowly position of being a shepherd. He humbled himself in that aspect. I, in connection to my children, am going to be the shepherd. I am the one that's going to lead you and guide you and feed you. He chose that. It was not allocated for him. It was not forced on him. He was not made to be a shepherd. He chose to be our shepherd. But I have realized that not only was it a chosen title, it was a consistent title. He was the shepherd of the sheep while he was here on earth. Right. I say to you, when Peter wrote many years after, he called him the shepherd. Yes, he did. He has not left that position. Thank God in this hour, he is still our shepherd. The one and only shepherd, I say to you. I am glad that he does not delegate the responsibility of the sheep to the lessers of his creation. He has not made Michael the archangel the shepherd. He has not made Gabriel the shepherd. Thank God he is the one shepherd. The one shepherd that is among the sheep. And the sheep are aware of their shepherd. The only shepherd that they have. But you know, as I was contemplating this matter of his oneness in the sheep and among the sheep, I realized that he not only chose this title, not only was it a consistent title, but it was a title that was characteristic of who he was. In other words, no one would qualify to be the shepherd like he did. No one could have been the shepherd like he is. I was preaching in a certain area. The pastor who pastored the church also was a chicken farmer. Had about 5 or 6 houses of chickens. They would bring in those chickens every 59 days and raise them up to 5 to 7 pound and then ship them out. Their aim was to raise all of those chickens that they could throughout that 59 days. But of course, in the process, because of heat or cold or because of a computer shutting down, sometimes some of those chickens or little chicks would die, and they have to go in daily and get those dead chickens out of there. Yes, sir. So I was talking to him, and he said, you know, I have to work with these chickens so much. Sometimes when I go to bed, I think I am a chicken. He said, I feel like a chicken, and I have to think like a chicken. When he said that to me, it just dawned on me and enlightened me that the reason why Jesus is such a shepherd is because he's also a sheep. He is a sheep. I say to you before his shearers, he is a lamb brought before the slaughter. He is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He said, I am one of you. That's why I can be over you. And aren't you glad that Jesus knows all about the feelings of a sheep? Because he himself has been a sheep. And is recognized as a sheep. And therefore he knows the very needs, the very wants, the very feelings. He knows all about sheep, thank God, because he is a sheep. He is one among us, but he is one in us and one with us because he is as us. He knows about our temptations. He knows about our rejections. He knows about our loneliness. He knows about all of that because he has been where you are. And where he's bringing you through, he has already traveled that path himself as a sheep. But thank God at the same time, he is twain the sheep and the shepherd, being one for you and I. No wonder he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows those infirmities. He knows those cares. You're stepping into the world of one. There's actually not a lot of difference between the shepherd and the sheep because they are one, really. One. Yeah, really good. Yeah. The oneness there in his faithfulness because of his characteristics. Yeah. I'd have you to notice with me in this parable as Jesus brings these worlds together, that the shepherd's world is not only a world of oneness as far as his connections to these sheep. One shepherd with the sheep. But I notice that in the world of a shepherd, there is a oneness in that there is one sheep with the shepherd. Now, when we think about sheep, we think about the hundred. But when Jesus thinks about sheep, he thinks about the one. A world of difference between the one and the 100. There's one in number. Jesus notices. There is one in need. Jesus notices. And thank God he knows every one as far as their name is concerned. 100 to 1, a sizable number and a simple number. 100 being so much and 1 being so little. But yet Jesus, when he deals with sheep, he doesn't deal with a group. He deals with an individual. And if you're here today and you are a child of God, it's because he individually convicted your heart. He individually shed his blood for you. He individually saved you. And thank God he's going to individually take you home. No wonder we seem like, as the songwriter said, it's almost like I'm his only child. Because we have that personal relationship with him one-on-one. My relationship doesn't go through some ministerial situation or some other preacher. Thank God for all of those that know him. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what's more important is I'm glad that I know him. Amen. I know him on a personal level because he's not just our shepherd. Thank God he is my shepherd and he is your shepherd. He's interested in the one. He's going after the one. Why? Because it is the one who is lost and needs to be brought back home. I heard about a little girl walking along a beach one day. She saw the many hundreds of starfish washed upon the shore, dying from the heat of the sun. Here and there, as she skipped along, she'd pick up one of those starfish and she'd throw it back into the water. Throwed several of them back, got back to the house and told her mama. Her mama said, "What have you been doing?" She said, "I've been throwing starfish back into the ocean." She said, "Honey, there's so many of them, it really didn't make any difference." She said, "Oh, Mama, it made a difference to the one I threw back." And aren't you glad he makes a difference in your life? Individually, every one of us have an individual relationship, a personal relationship with him. He leaves the 99 for the one. It made a difference to the one. Thank God he healed the one man by the pool of water. It made a difference to him. Everybody he ever touched, he touched individually, but it made a difference to them. And the reason why we're here this morning is because he personally made a difference to you. In a world where numbers seem to impress us, where people are herded around like cattle and analyzed and counted and generalized to death, keep in mind the fact that God died for one of us, each one of us as individuals. I say to you, stepping off into the world of the shepherd. Oh, we see him as a shepherd, but we also see him as a sheep, a world of one in relationship among those sheep, in those sheep. But oh, it is a world of one sheep. Not only a world of one, the shepherd with the sheep, but a world of one, the sheep with the shepherd. He knows each one of us, and he knows those sheep, and he calls them by name. And I'm glad he does, don't you? I'm so glad that he knows me, so glad that he knows you as his sheep. It's a world of one. The Christian life is so simple. It's me and the Lord. Me and the Lord. It's so simple. It's not you doing what I want you to do. It's you doing what he wants you to do. It's you and the Lord. This matter of oneness in which he is so faithful because he is one of us. And he is so faithful to the one of us. He doesn't have to have a crowd. You know, during this COVID, the times that I preached and many places, of course, the crowd was thinned. And I pastored for 22 years. You know, you feel bad about that. You want as many people to be there for the meeting as can. But how I tried to encourage that pastor is I would say to him, preacher, the thing that is important is the Lord said, if two or three are there, I'll be in the midst. And as I often say, and in this meeting, I have looked across the number that is here and counted and figured, and if my figures are right, there's just enough here this morning to worship him, and that's all that counts. Because it is a one-on-one worship. Him with us and us with him. One-on-one in our prayer. One-on-one with him in the Word of God. One-on-one with worship. Even though we get together and there may be 300 here, honey, don't you sense that it's one-on-one with the shepherd? One-on-one. He is one. And thank God he is in those sheep, among those sheep. Those sheep are one in his sight, individually. But I want you to notice how that there is a oneness in his dealing with the sheep, in his faithfulness to the sheep. Now, we look at this text and we realize that there are some difficult situations. The conditions are bad. But it doesn't make any difference to the shepherd how bad it is, because it's his sheep. I often tell young preachers, I say, the worst thing you can do is take a church just to take a church. That's a baby, it has to be born in you. And if it ain't born in you, you're going to find yourself babysitting. And I'm going to tell you, you can tell the difference between your child and babysitting a child. Because when you're babysitting somebody's young and you're watching the clock, they're supposed to pick these kids up at 5 o'clock. And I don't hope they don't bring them tomorrow sick again. But honey, if they're yours, you'll be up with them at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you may not like it, but they're yours. You're going to tend to them around the clock because you know that they are yours. And I'm going to tell you something. When he saved you, he didn't save you because you were good. He saved you because you were lost. And honey, he saved you to keep on saving you because you're his. I belong to him. There is a oneness in the fact that I know that he's going to stick with me all the way. He brings that one. sheep home. All that trouble just for one? Yeah. Because he's the faithful shepherd. He's faithful in the midst of the elements. He's faithful in the face of the enemy. He's faithful to use all of his powers and energy to carry this sheep. He's faithful in spite of all the erring that sheep has been prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. He is faithful to each sheep. Now, you may look at a church member and say, I don't think he's worth it. But God never looked at one of his sheep, Jesus never, and said, I don't think that he's worth it. Oh, he's the one shepherd that's going to take care of his sheep. Every one of them is the emphasis. Every one of them. That thrills me to know that there's no chance in this world that I'm going to be left behind. If he has to, he'll come all the way, put me on his shoulders, and carry me all the way to the house. Some he can lead, some he can feed, some he can water, but some he's going to have to carry them to get them there, but he'll get them there. It's a story of one. The one shepherd has one flock of sheep, and every one of them's going home. Sometimes I feel like I'm feeding with him. Sometimes I feel like I'm a drinking with him. Sometimes I feel like I'm a walking with him. But sometimes I feel so low. I say, oh Lord, you're going to have to get me there if I make it. I feel like, but it ain't a bad feeling laying on the shoulders of the great shepherd when you're walking through and he's carrying you through hell and high water. Picks that one shepherd up. Puts that one, or that one sheep up. Puts it on that one shepherd's back. And goes to one place. He ain't stopping off anywhere. You know that because David said so in the 23rd Psalm. He said the whole reason why that he's leading me and he's directing me, he's taking me home. He's interested in one place, going home. I'm interested in one place also. We're the same mind. I'm thinking about going home. And I want you to know, look at me real good. I'm going to be there if it has to be on his shoulders.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, I never feel worthy. I hear these preachers talking. I say, well, we're praying for you. I say, well, if any preaching happens, the Lord will have to do it. You got to crawl up on his shoulders. Best you can do, he's going to have to carry you through that sermon. Ain't that right? But oh, once he gets to carrying you, once he gets to moving you, you realize he's taking you through there. You know you're going somewhere. Honey, the Christian life is realizing there's a oneness in your relationship to the one shepherd that's going to one place, and every one of us is going.
Amen. Yes, sir, preacher. I say glory to God.
I asked that old chicken farmer, I said to him, I said, well, now, you talk about how many you lose. I said, what is the acceptable percentage of loss of all those chickens that you get every 59 days that you can make a business out of? He said, well, we're happy, really, if we don't lose over 3 to 5%. Now, I'd be hundreds of chickens, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 of them. But he said we'd be happy if we just lost 3-5%. So I turned over and talked to my shepherd. I said, "Shepherd, you got a lost sheep. What's the percentage of loss that you'd be acceptable of when you got home?" He said, "None. I won't lose none. All that have been given to me, I'm going to get them to the home. Woo! I'm glad I'm one. I may not be much, but I'm one. Going somewhere with the one shepherd." Now, I don't know what he'll have to go through to get me there, but it don't matter to him. He's getting us there.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, God.
Don't worry about it. It's all one. If you can count one, you got it made. One shepherd, one flock, one sheep, oneness all the way through, and one direction. And when we get there, Brother Larry done preached on it last night, we're going to do one thing. He said, "Let's get together and rejoice for the one." When I get into heaven, when I look around, it's going to be like the throne, the angels, and everybody else is saying, "Whoa, he's home." He said, "I just think about the one. Because I'm one of them. And I'm the only one they got. I'm going to take them to one place. And when we get there, we're going to do one thing." Huh? Went out and found him. Put him on his shoulders. I had a preacher tell me this several years ago. I couldn't believe a preacher would be this honest, but he was. He said, "Brother Dana," he said, "I got into depression and oppression for a good period of time." He said, "The devil was haunting me. And said what he'd say to me every time, 'I'll leave you alone if you'll deny him.' Then I'd get deeper and he'd say, 'I'll leave you alone if you'll just deny him. I'll leave you alone. All you got to say is, I deny him.'" And he said one time I was sitting in such depression and said he was speaking so clear. And he said to me, "If you'll deny him, I'll leave you alone." He said, "I talked to the devil and I said, 'Devil, I wouldn't believe you'd say this. If you'll leave me alone, okay, I deny him.'" He said, "As soon as I said that, the Lord showed up and said," he said to me, "'Did you notice nothing happened?'" And you said, "Well," he said, "Well, yes, Lord, I did." He said, "'Cause I can't deny you.'" Oh, I want to tell you something. I never want to get that low nor that deep or ever do that. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter what the route is, he's getting me home. I'm going home. I'm going to one place. And some of you are looking at me. You've been in some of those deep holes. You've been so frightened, wanting to get everything just right. And don't we? Don't we want to serve him? We want to be faithful. But I got good news for you. If it ain't all just right, he'll carry you. Are you hearing me? Matter of fact, I'm going to let the cat out of the box. Folks ask me, they'll say, "Brother Dana, how'd you get so many friends?" I said, "They don't know me. They don't know me. I just go in, preach, and leave. They don't know me." As a matter of fact, if you knew me like I've known myself over the last 52 years since I've been saved, you probably wouldn't want to hear me preach. But now don't turn your halos up. If I knew you like you know yourself for the last few, I'd probably get my Bible and run out of here. But I'm here to tell you we got a good shepherd that loves us, tends to us, and is going to take us all the way to the house of the Lord if he has to put you on his back. Can you imagine when he got back home, that old sheep on his shoulder sits him down and says, look what I found. Now we're complete. It is finished. Let's rejoice. Anytime you find that word rejoice in the parables, and it's found several times, that's God's feeling. You know who that is telling them to rejoice? That's the great shepherd. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in emotion. Well, maybe you don't have a shepherd. He's the one that told them to rejoice. He said, let's all get together now. I want to bring everybody together for this one. You ever have a preacher preach a sermon and you said, preacher, that was for me. I don't know if anybody else got it. That was for one. Somebody sing a song and you said, oh, Lord, thank you for that one for me. And you came to the house of the Lord and you felt like no matter who else he touched you, the one. And he said, we're going. I'm your only shepherd. I'm your one shepherd. I've come after you, one, and we're headed to one place. And when we get there, we're going to do one thing. We're going to rejoice. That's God's feeling. You know, it's sort of bad for a man to have a job that he don't like or a job he can't do. Both of them's pitiful. But you could tell and pick up on the spirit of that shepherd that it didn't make no difference what was going on. He embraced his sheep. He embodied his sheep. And he enjoyed his sheep. You say, well, what's all this emotion going on here? That's God. Happy. That's happy. You see, Brother Chuck, up there preaching going like that? You say, well, what God do? That's what God was doing. Huh? Honey, that's the shepherd getting us all together and saying, now here's what I want you to do. Let's get happy. Because not of a huge crowd, not because it's all flooded over and you got more than you can. No, let's get happy over one. And you're the one. In that parable of the shepherd and the sheep, it's all just about one. Can I say to you, this is all about one. Yeah, he told that preacher, he said, you notice nothing happen? He said, yeah. He said, because I can't deny you. He said to that sheep, you know why I'm all the way out here? In the darkness, the lonely places. I can't leave you. Amen. Can't deny myself. Because I'm the one shepherd that will never lose one. Good news. They're all going to be there. Somebody said, well, I hope the Lord ain't embarrassed. I mean, we get there and they won't, you know, be empty seats with all the people that didn't want it and all that. No, there won't be no empty seats. One at a time. He's going to get you to one place to do one thing because you're the one sheep and he's the one shepherd. They said, we don't understand him. He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He said, well, let me tell you about the one. He ever told you about the one? If you're saved, you heard about the one. Yeah. 90 and 9. He said, we ain't gone nowhere. I got one. As a 14-year-old boy, raised in a pagan family, had no part in this. But I realized one day walking down a little alley when he came and saved me. He said, now, I just want you to know you're one. And I ain't never going to leave you. And I got you home, and I'm going to take you there. And isn't that why it's always about the one? That's why when we preach, we say it's all up to him. We worship, we say it's all up to him. The life we live through him. It's all up to him. That's what humbles us, because we know it ain't us. I love it. You're going home. If he has to carry you.